Well, in preparation for this evening, the text that I felt like God really drew me to in thinking about Tommy is, it's a story that's found in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And I'll just tell it to you. And so Jesus and his disciples, they've been in Jerusalem, and they're traveling north to go back home to Galilee, and they're going to pass through Samaria. And Samaria was an area where a lot of Jews would not pass through. They were afraid that the Samaritan people would somehow corrupt them, that they were unclean, that they would defile them. And so a number of Jews, they would just avoid that whole area. Even though it was longer, they would walk around Samaria, take them extra time to get home. But Jesus and his disciples, they went straight through Samaria. And again, that's a little bit unusual. And then it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like Shelltown. That people who aren't from there, when they got to go through Shelltown, they don't stop. And so they just drive straight on through the neighborhood. Maybe they're trying to get from the 805 to the 5, and they're going to cut through and mess traffic up, but they're not going to stop. And but Jesus, he and his disciples, they stopped. And they stopped at this well, kind of a famous well. It was called after Jacob, so it was Jacob's well. They stopped there, and it is the middle of the day. It is at noon. And Jesus was tired and he was hungry, and the disciples who were with him, they went on into the village, into the town, and they were going to buy food. And so Jesus is out there at the well, and he's by himself for a moment. And then comes out this Samaritan woman. And this is kind of unusual because it's the middle of the day. And usually the women would come out and they would draw water early in the morning before the sun came up and it got real hot. Or they would come out and draw water at the end of the day after the sun was already setting. And so it's pretty unusual for this woman to come to the well all by herself to get water right smack in the middle of the day. And Jesus sees her, and Jesus does the unthinkable. Jesus says, give me a drink of water. And she looks at Jesus and she's puzzled, and she just kind of says, you're asking me for water? That you're a Jewish man and I'm a Samaritan woman and you're talking to me and you're asking me for water? And see, she knew kind of the Jewish rules. And the rules were that if she got Jesus a drink of water, she would be touching the cup that he would drink from. And that would make that cup kind of unclean from a Jewish perspective. And then if Jesus touched that, it's like he would be contaminated. And Jesus didn't care. And then Jesus said to her, woman, if you knew who it was who is asking you for a drink of water, you would actually be asking him for living water. Amen. Now this puzzled her because she's thinking living water, that's like spring water, that's running water. And she says, Jesus, where are you going to get this water from? That you don't have anything to draw the water with. The well is deep. Are you actually greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? It's kind of like, where are you going to get living water from? And Jesus responds to her that whoever drinks the water from Jacob's well, they're just going to get thirsty again. And they're going to have to keep coming back and coming back and coming back trying to quench their thirst. But he's saying the water that I give, whoever drinks this water, they're never going to thirst again. And that this water is going to well up within them. And it's going to be the spring that's going to bring forth eternal life. A life that cannot be stopped in any kind of way. And so the woman says, well, give me that water so I don't have to keep coming out here. And she still doesn't really know what Jesus is talking about. She doesn't really understand that Jesus is talking about this gift of the Holy Spirit that he can give her that will give her joy and will give her life. So right then, Jesus completely flips the conversation. And he says, woman, go get your husband. Now, some of you know the story. And her response to Jesus is, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you're right. you've had five husbands. And the man that you're living with now is not your husband. Now, he just confronted her with her whole life. And we don't know the story of her life, but Jesus sure did. We don't know why she had five husbands. We don't know whether she was widowed five times. We don't know whether she was cheated on five times. We don't know if she cheated on them five times. I mean, we just don't know. But Jesus knew her whole life. Some have said, I don't know if this is right or not, but some have said that perhaps the reason why she lied and said, she kind of told the truth that she had no husband was because she was actually hoping to hook up with Jesus. And that's why she's saying, I don't have a man. Don't know. But she's there in the middle of the day. And Jesus is talking to her. And Jesus confronts her with her own life. Well, I got to give that woman credit. She didn't look to get out of the conversation. That she changed the subject matter a little bit, but she didn't try to get out of the conversation. She didn't say, here's your water, I got to go. But she stayed in the conversation. And she had a question for Jesus. She started talking about religious stuff. And Jesus, you know, our fathers say this is where you're supposed to worship God. And your people say you're supposed to worship God over here. You know, which is it? And Jesus starts talking to her about true worshipers. That it's not about where you worship. But the time is coming, when, and it's now here, when the true worshipers, the worshipers that God is seeking, are going to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that doesn't just mean that they're going to worship God genuinely with all their heart, but they're actually going to worship God through this gift of life that Jesus is giving, this gift of the Spirit. And they're going to worship God through the revelation that Jesus provides as to who God is. That God is love and that God is reconciling the world in Christ. And so that you can be a worshiper of God 24/7, wherever you're at, and be in the presence of God and be offering all of life up to God. It's about that time that the disciples come. The woman said to Jesus, I know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to explain everything. And Jesus says, that's me. That I am. I'm the one you're actually waiting for. The disciples show up, and the woman sees the disciples show up, and they see Jesus talking to the woman, and they kind of wonder what's going on, but they don't dare ask anything. And all of a sudden, the woman leaves, and she goes back to her village. And she left her water jar there. She left her water jar at the well, and she went back to her village, and she started telling everybody about Jesus. Now, that's fascinating to me, because here's a woman who's coming to the well in the middle of the day and is hoping that nobody sees her. And she's afraid that people already know too much about her, and she doesn't want to have to deal with it. But there's Jesus, and he meets her. And he tells her everything about her. And he also promises a new life to her. And so she left her water jar there, and she went back home, and instead of just hiding from everybody, she actually started finding everybody and letting them know, hey, I think I found the one we've been waiting for, because he told me everything about my life. And when they see the change in her and what she's saying, they join with her, and they go back out of town, back to that well, to where Jesus is at. And sure enough, Jesus starts talking to them the same way he talked to the woman. And their testimony is, you know, we came out here because of what the woman said, but now we believe because we've heard with our own ears. We've heard Jesus. And I've just been thinking about that whole thing in terms of Tommy and us. You know, Jesus promises life to every one of us. Jesus promises the gift of his Holy Spirit. Jesus promises this gift of life that becomes joyful now, and that death can't stop it. And so that on the other side of the grave, we are in the presence of God with Jesus and still filled with his Spirit and worshiping. And we live in anticipation of the hope of resurrection, that death isn't going to win anything. Death doesn't get our bodies, that there's a resurrection day coming. We live with that kind of hope. That's the hope that Tommy lived with. That's the hope that Tommy died with. That's the hope that Tommy has today. But here's the fascinating thing about it to me. For the woman to receive that gift of life and no longer need her water jar, she had to accept what Jesus was showing her about herself. And if she wouldn't accept that, then she would have never been able to open herself up to receive the gift that Jesus had for her. And I think about that with Tommy. I didn't know Tommy super well. But what I've gathered is that there was a time in his life where he was going to a lot of wells. And lots of water jars. Just looking for something that would satisfy his thirst. And well after well, he would have to keep going back to it, looking for something that would satisfy, looking for something that would satisfy. And somewhere along the way, and you heard it in the recording, and you've heard about it from those that are here, that somewhere along the way is like Jesus showed up in Shelltown. That Jesus didn't just go straight through, but that Jesus actually found Tommy.
Showed up with the
vengeance. Showed up. Yeah. On Nordica.
Yes, he did.
But he showed up and started talking to Tommy about the gift that he had for Tommy, but also talking to Tommy about Tommy and the life that he had lived.
Even he held on his shoulder.
Yeah. And Jesus confronted Tommy with Tommy. And Tommy had to kind of own up that, yeah, my life is empty. And I've been trying to fill it with lots of stuff, but my life is still empty. And when Tommy began to accept kind of the judgment of Jesus, that Tommy, you're filling yourself up with things that will never satisfy you. That when he began to accept that, he was actually opening himself up to receive the gift that Jesus had for him. And he could leave his water jar and not have to go back to it. And he could turn to Jesus and have this gift of the Spirit, this gift of joy, this gift of life that really quenched his thirst. I visited Tommy in the hospital a couple times, and it so happened that on one of those times, it was the day that he got the news that there would be no liver for him. And just happened to show up that day. And he's there laying in his bed, and took him a moment, but he recognized who I was. And so he sat up and we started talking. And he told me the news that the doctors told him that he didn't qualify for a liver transplant, and that he only had about 2 weeks to live. And he was kind of struck by that. But how would you react if you got the news that you had 2 weeks? I was really amazed at Tommy's reaction. He reacted like a man who knows God.
He was content.
He wasn't looking forward to the pain. He was a little fearful that it would be painful because he was already in some pain. And so he knew it wasn't going to be pretty. But he also had a certain joy about him, that he wasn't living in fear, but he was actually living in hope. And he knew that instead of just being under a death sentence, he was under a life sentence that was greater. That under the sentence of eternal life, under the sentence of heaven, under the sentence of the hope of resurrection. And he knew death was going to have its day, and he knew this service was coming. But he knew this wasn't going to be the last day. He knew that death was not going to have the last word. And so he faced his death courageously, trusting in God, knowing that God was with him, knowing that God would bring him through to eternity and to the resurrection. And then he also wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about you, Anna. He was thinking about the family. And he was trusting that God would take care of you. And that God would continue to make a way for this family. And he cared very, very much for you, as you have heard, and for the whole family. And I think about Tommy and this Samaritan woman and how she went back to her village and she told everybody about Jesus. And in some sense, that's what Tommy did. That once he received Jesus and the life that Jesus had for him, he started sharing about it. And even today, he was sharing about it. And he will continue. His testimony, his voice will continue to echo in your ears and resonate in your heart that, wow, Jesus is for real. Look what he did in Tommy's life. And my prayer for us, my prayer for you, is that we would be like that village. And that we would go to Jesus and check Jesus out because of Tommy's testimony. But then, I think what we will discover is that instead of Tommy just speaking to us, that Jesus actually starts to speak to us. And that Jesus will speak to each and every one of us the same way that he spoke to the Samaritan woman, the same way that he spoke to Tommy, that Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And then Jesus will kind of hold up a mirror to us. I know you. But if you'll accept what I'm showing you and give it to me, put your water jars down, then I will give you life. I will give you joy. I will give you the hope of heaven. I will give you the promise of resurrection. I will give you whatever power you need for each day in all the challenges that face you. That's what the woman experienced. That's what Tommy experienced. That's what Jesus has for you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are amazed that you would send your Son to where we live. That you would send your Son into neighborhoods where everybody else just drives through, locks their doors, doesn't stop. That you would send your Son and have him stop to meet us. Thank you for how you sent him to meet Tommy. Thank you for the saving work that you did in Tommy's life through Jesus and the gift of your Spirit. We know Tommy wasn't perfect, but we also know he loved you. And we saw changes in him that you brought about by your Spirit, to where instead of being constantly self-centered, he was loving and caring. And we thank you for how you gave Tommy the courage to face death and the knowledge that you gave him that death would not be the end, that he would abide in eternity with you and with the hope of resurrection and with the hope of reunion with all of his family. Thank you, Father. And we pray that as Jesus continues to move about our lives, our neighborhood, as he continues to kind of stop and meet us at various places. Give us ears to hear. Help us to respond. We've seen what you did for Tommy. Do that for us. Do that for us so that we can set down all of our water jars. Help us to own what you show us about ourselves rather than run from it. Help us to stay there and listen. And then help us to surrender to you. And we pray that you would fill each one of us with that gift of life, that spirit, that water that just wells up within us so that we're finally satisfied. We again thank you for Tommy, and we pray that his testimony would continue to linger and echo, and that his life would continue to yield fruit for you. Be with this family, be especially with Anna and the children. We pray that you would comfort them as only you can. And we pray that you would bind us all closer together and deeper into the life of Christ with the knowledge of the hope that we have of the resurrection and seeing Tommy again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. What I'd like for us to do is sing Amazing Grace, and you've been seated for a long time. Would you mind standing? And yeah. You have been very patient and you have persevered well. I know that it can be kind of warm in here too. But I'd like for us to sing Amazing Grace. I know many of you know it. And then after we sing Amazing Grace, I'd like for us to say the Lord's Prayer together. And then I'll say just a few more words and we'll conclude the service. And so, where's Vonda? Are you? Where's my wife? All right, well, I'm gonna start us off. I'm hoping that she's somewhere and we'll carry it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amen. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this: blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. For as much as the spirit of our departed loved one, Tommy, has returned to God who gave it, we therefore tenderly commit him to the grave in the sure trust and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who who shall give to us new bodies like unto his glorious body. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, God of all mercy, we look to you in this moment of sorrow and bereavement. Comfort these dear ones whose hearts are heavy and sad. Will you be with them, sustain and guide them in the days to come? Grant, O Lord, that they may love and serve you and obtain the fullness of your promises in the world to come. And now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated, and let me give you just a few instructions. First, Anna and the whole family, thank you for being here and for your many acts of kindness and support that you have shown them, and so thank you. And everyone is welcome to stay for dinner, and we'll get a few more tables set up, and some of the guys could help with that, and we'll get some tablecloths on them as well, and we'll rearrange some of the furniture, and then we'll have dinner. Bonnie, do you want to give any instructions on dinner?
Yes, if some of the ladies would like to help out, we have, of course, a lot of you brought food, which is so beautiful as well, but we'll set up the table here. Drinks will go in a container underneath, and then we'll just form a line here, but we'll need some helpers,
and
I'm sure.
Yeah, and take advantage of this time to continue with Tommy's stories. Mm-hmm. And because Tommy's stories end up giving praise to God. And so Lord be with you, and you're in our prayers, and God will see you through this time. Amen. Amen. God bless you.